Hi, this is Mike Purcell. Welcome to a voyage of discovery and awareness of the richness, diversity, and often surprising nature of living with the land. Our journey begins as dramatic and sudden changes are sweeping over the land. The approaching storm may seem violent and destructive to us, but it's actually just the Disney Parks Podcast.
Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Parkhopper John from WDWParkhoppers.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Soarin' to Tower. We are ready for takeoff.
And welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast. My name is Parkhopper John. Joining me as always is the incredibly talented, the life, the lovable, the huggable, Mr. Tony Castelnova from Disney by the Numbers. How are you doing this evening, pal?
I am doing great. We're having fun.
Yeah,
fun. Second recording for the night.
Yeah, I did a great interview earlier with the former cast member. You're gonna love his story. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Good story. Yeah, so I like stuff like that.
Yeah. So this is the Disney Parks Podcast. We are all the parks in one podcast. And we are very excited that you're here. If you want to find out a little bit more about us, you can come over to DisneyParksPodcast.com. Sign up for our newsletter. We send that out every week, and it's filled with lots of great information. And we'll make sure that you find us over on Facebook on Disney Parks Podcast and on Twitter at Disney Podcaster.
And come on down.
That Tony's going to tell us a little bit about one of our great sponsors for this week.
Yep. This show is sponsored by Theme Park Concierge. If you are looking for somebody to hold your hand and take you around the park, well, maybe not hold your hand, but guide you around the park in a guided fashion, contact Theme Park Concierge. They will give you the personal VIP service. Make your fast pass, make your reservations, get you on rides, get you wherever you need to go, whatever park, Disney, Universal, Legoland, Busch Gardens, you name it, they will do it. And they are very, very reasonably priced. Go to themeparkconcierge.com to check them out, or you can call them and make your plans with them by calling 407-257-9973. And this week, Ramon, the president and owner, is going to give us a very special announcement that we're going to record tomorrow night live from Disneyland. And it's going to blow your minds. It's going to blow your minds. But go check out our sponsor, themeparkconcierge.com. That's with an S. All right. What else do we have going on, John?
We have an incredible event coming up in a couple weeks, actually. We're going to be at a Walt Disney World doing a monorail crawl on March 19th. That's going to start at 7 p.m. And we're going to kick that off at Meisner's Lounge over at the Grand Floridian. And we're going to stay there for about an hour. Then we're going to hop on the monorail, ride past the Magic Kingdom. Then we're going to go over to the Outer Rim at the Contemporary Resort. And then we're going to wind up at the Trader Sam's patio out back behind Trader Sam's at Disney's Polynesian Resort. So that's where we're going to wind up. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be like a 3-4 hour event. We would love to have you there. There's no tickets. There's no RSVP. Just show up. Show up when you can. Stay for as long as you want. And then you can head out. And we're going to have a great time. It's a lot of fun. We'll probably have some surprises. I know that we're going to have some special guests there along the way. rumor has it, Park Hopper Sid may or may not be there. So that's going to be a fun time. She's going to make a guest appearance.
For the monorail call, too, it's probably easiest if you catch up with us at the beginning. It's hard to catch up with us once we're moving. Once the tribe is on the go, I've always found that people find it a little bit more difficult. And obviously, the drinks are on you. You will have to pay for your own cocktails. We were or not. And you can drink or not drink. Some people drink. Some people don't drink. So don't think that, you know, we're calling it a monorail crawl that you have to drink. You do not have to drink. The other tip is, too, a lot of people ask, well, you know, we're never really at a place long enough to get food. No, we're not. So either eat before or be prepared to eat after. Right. One of the two. It's very, you know, we're usually only in a place for an hour and you really can't get food ordered, served, and eaten in an hour in a lounge with a large group of people. So be prepared for that.
But that's not to say that if you really wanted to eat, you can order something. And then after you get done eating, you could come join us. And I'm sure we're going to be tweeting and Facebooking and all sorts of stuff. So if you get, you know, it's easier to join us, but you could probably keep up with us on social media.
Right.
Okay. So the other thing that I'd like to share is we have partnered with a couple of great online radio stations that have we're so humbled that they've asked us to be a part of their show lineup. We are on WROCK, and you can listen to them at www.wlor.net. We are on Sunday afternoons, and we would love for you to check them out. It's a lot of fun. They do an incredible mix of music and some really great talk shows. And again, we're just humbled to be a part of that. So thank you to WLOR, and hopefully we'll see you over at WLOR.net.
Yep, and we're also on Sorcerer Radios on Saturday afternoon. So if you can't catch us on that place or here or recorded or on iTunes or Stitcher or Downcast, there's also Sorcerer Radios on Saturday. So we're everywhere. Everywhere there a podcast should be.
And the last little bit of news we'd like to share with you is you can come meet myself and Tony on Saturday, March 12th. So that's, if you're listening to this right when the show comes out this week, it's going to be this Saturday, March 12th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. That's going to be at the Holiday Inn Orlando Southwest. That's in the Celebration area. You can come to the Disney Parks Podcast and look for the banner there in the post. You'll be able to see it. We would love to meet you. Tony's going to have copies of his book, Disney by the Numbers, and it looks like that. I'll be selling and signing my book, Disney Bucket List. That's going to be available there, too. We'd love to meet you there. We're going to be signing books, selling books. We're also offering a discount. If you buy both of our books, you get a very special Disney pen. And since it's a Disney
supplies
pen,
last.
While supplies last. Let's get into that. And since it's a Disney pin trading event, hey, look on the bright side. You'll have a great pin that people are not going to have. And that could make you some money. Who knows? I don't know how the pin things work. So, So while supplies last, come on out and grab a book, meet Tony, meet myself, have some fun, and maybe walk away with some new pins.
Sounds good.
And now, Disney Parks Podcast News.
So Disney has announced the Rivers of Light is going to cap the full day into night experience beginning April 22nd. So after the sunsets, guests will gather waterside for the majestic nighttime jewel, Rivers of Light. Now, this illuminating musical experience celebrates the magic of animals and humans and the natural world with a blend of performers, floating lanterns, and theatrical animal imagery. On the natural stage of Discovery River, guests will marvel at a timeless custom as it comes to life before their very eyes in stirring performance. The ceremony begins with the arrival of a pair of mystical hosts, two complementary forces who come to the river bearing gifts of light. They set out from their shore on elaborate lantern vessels, engaging in a dramatic dance of water and light to summon the animal spirits. And with these storytellers as guides, the wonders of the Rivers of Light unfold, building to a magnificent finale with bursts of light as animal images soar into the heavens, signifying the ancient belief that when animals passed from one world to another, they danced in the sky and became beautiful rivers of light, according to Michael Jung, creative portfolio director at Walt Disney Imagineering. So to create the Rivers of Light, Imagineers and Disney Creative Entertainment partnered with experts, including award-winning master designer Marco Curry, whose Disney Parks contributions include Finding Nemo the Musical, the Disney Festival of Fantasy Parade. Film composer Don L. Harper also created soaring musical score for the nighttime show, which includes an original song by noted composer Mark Mancina. Disney also collaborated with the award-winning filmmakers at Disney Nature to bring never-before-seen footage telling dramatic and compelling stories from the animal world into the new show. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's interesting. I did like the video that they did produce. And then they put out a recently another one where the dude, Kevin, who's he, the show director, I think, he had some stuff that he was talking about, how they were doing it and all those kind of things. So it's interesting. Listen, the park has to be open at night. And I think that's going to, you know, it's going to help the park and it's going to help the other parks because, you know, when there's only one or two open, you know, that's where people go and those get crowded. So if there is something to do and see at night, people will be there.
Right. You know? And it's also going to help alleviate some of the how can I say frustration of what's happening, going to start happening over at
the studios,
because there's not going to be a lot going on there.
Listen, and I think for the summer, they have to keep the Star Wars fireworks going. They just have to. They can't, you know, it just can't be Epcot illuminations and wishes every night. You know, they have to keep that third thing open because it'll be crazy. It'll be crazy.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there'll be a lot of mad, sweaty people pouring out of Epcot and the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. And, you know, with the new price increases, it's a lot of money to be spending for a handful of attractions, to be brutally honest with you.
Yeah.
So the some more announcements that are happening over at Animal Kingdom is the Tree of Life will be awakening each night nearby on Discovery Island. The area will come alive each evening with a celebration filled with music and dance. The theme park's iconic Tree of Life will undergo an extraordinary awakening throughout the evening as the animal spirits are brought to life by magical fireflies that open a window into the body of the tree, revealing colorful stories of wonder and enchantment. Now,
that's the FAA drone license permit that they applied for.
Oh, really? That'd be interesting.
The fireflies. That's what they referenced in the patent and their FAA permit they applied for was
right.
Fireflies.
the little mini drones, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be like, and the tree awakens.
Well, they say a couple things. The drones will never go over any area where guests will be. They'll only be over water.
Okay.
All right. Let's go with that, Disney.
That's until Skynet takes over and all machines come to kill us.
Alexa, fireflies on.
The Kilimanjaro Safaris will start taking their nighttime excursions each evening. The popular Kilimanjaro Safari daytime experience is going to artfully be bathed in the look of sunset with special lighting, allowing guests to explore and enjoy this attraction well into the night. During the expedition, guests can now enjoy the wildlife at night and may discover two new species, African wild dogs and hyenas. We've been talking about that for a long time.
Yeah.
And the last thing on the list is the Harambe Wildlife Party Discovery Island Carnival. When the sun sets, it's easy for you to say, when the sun sets, the popular village of Harambe will become a hotspot with the new Harambe Wildlife Party. Here, party animals, and I'm using Tony's air quotes.
Air quotes.
Can dance alongside local street musicians and entertainers, partake in exotic foods and libations, and explore the diverse wares of the village artisans and merchants. And the new Discovery Island Carnival will captivate guests with lively music, spirited dance, vibrant costumes, tasty culinary creations, spreading from one end of the island to the other. question.
Yeah.
Is the Harambe thing alcoholic and the Discovery Island thing non-alcoholic?
I don't know. They don't say.
Because yeah, they went out of the way to say libations, and they didn't say it on the first one. So
yeah, and maybe. Who knows? If you ever want a Disney Parks podcast pin or sticker or T-shirt, go to our website, DisneyParksPodcast.com, and you can help support the show by getting a shirt, a button, or a pin, or a sticker. Just click up at the top where it says store, and all of the little places that are linked up are right there. All right, moving on to other news. I think you're probably more excited about this one than I am. Maybe, maybe not.
Maybe.
The Disney Cruise Line announced two more new ships. So that'd be a fleet of
six.
Six for the smart man with the red hat. The Walt Disney Company announced the other day that they're building two new additional cruise ships. Each of them will be showcasing the immersive family entertainment, enchanting storytelling, and unparalleled service that only Disney can deliver. The company has entered into an agreement with the Meyer Werft Shipyard in Germany. The schedule calls for the two new ships to be completed in 2021 and 2023. Each new ship will be approximately 135,000 gross tons, slightly larger than the two newest ships, the Dream and the Fantasy. And each is currently planned to include about 1,250 staterooms. While design plans, ship names, and itineraries are still in development, the Disney Imagineering team is already dreaming up exciting new ways to steal money from your wallet and to create the world's largest magical ocean-going adventure. More details will come shortly from the Disney Cruise Line fleet expansion on board offerings as soon as they are announced. Hey, from everything I've been told from people that I know that have some kind of connection with the cruise line, they're sold out. I have not gotten a Florida resident email from the cruise line saying, "Hey, we got Florida resident rates." I can't even tell you how long. So two new ships, I don't even think it's going to put a dent in their problem. I really don't. They could probably build six new cruise ships and they're probably still not going to fill that problem.
Yeah.
You know, they have a lot of itineraries now, and I don't know if two ships is going to fill that need that they have. I really don't.
Two ships will do a lot to alleviate some of it. They might actually have some openings. That's the reason you're not seeing anything now is because there's just nothing there. They have no free staterooms. They've done such a great job of promoting it and marketing it. And it's just great. I mean, we're going on an Alaskan cruise in May. We booked it last year.
Yeah. I haven't even heard any of my cast members' friends saying, "Hey, did you check out, we should do, normally they come to me with all these discounts of open cruise lines and they're like, there's nothing.
Right.
There's nothing.
Right. So they don't have any openings.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a great news. This is great news for anybody that's a Disney Cruise Line fan. I think this is wonderful. They could add two or four or five more ships. And I think, financially it would be a big hit, but.
Yeah. I think they'd make some money back.
Yeah.
So I have two questions I want to ask everybody. Here are my two questions. Question number one for everybody out there is, what do you think they're going to name these two things? Okay. That's number one. I have my guesses already. I put out there. I don't think they're going to happen. But hey,
what do you think they are?
I think one should be called the Walt Disney. I think one should be called the Roy Disney. Personally, I think their name should be on a damn ship. That's what I think. But that won't happen. That's not the way they're going to go. They're going to name it, I don't know, Tinkerbell or something.
They'll name it Adventure, Explore, Discover,
Imagination.
Yeah.
I've heard all those crazy names. All right, that's question number one. Question number two is, what do you want to see them put on these two ships that maybe they don't have on, the four ships? They got these aqua coasters and, those kind of things. They're now doing Star Wars cruises. Is there a place you want them to go that they're not going? Or is there something you know, specific that you'd like to see on the cruise that, you know, maybe one of the other cruise lines is doing a little bit better, and maybe you'd like to see that on a Disney cruise. So that that's what I'm interested to hear what people are, you know, thinking about. There's a lot of big time cruisers out there. So
yeah, I'd like to see the Disney Parks podcast on a Disney cruise. That's what I'd like to see on a Disney cruise.
I'd like to see that too.
Shameless plug.
If anybody wants to make that happen for us, please contact us.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're willing to go on a boat and talk.
We're willing to go on a boat and not talk.
I can talk, I can drink, I can sleep, I can swim, I can do all those things on a boat.
Yes, we can do all of those things. Yeah. If you are tired of your gray Magic Band, maybe you didn't get to pick your color, maybe you're just tired of the color of your Magic Band, maybe you just have something that you want to celebrate, some special occasion, maybe it's a special trip, maybe it's a family outing, and you would like to have some special custom Magic Band wraps for your band, you definitely need to contact our friends at Magic Your Bands. Magic Your Bands can do custom orders, as well as they have hundreds of really great designs that they've come up with. Some even glow in the dark. They already have some pre-made special celebrations. If you're getting married or having an anniversary, they can do custom bride and groom Magic Band covers for your Magic Bands. All you have to do is go to Disney Parks Podcast and click on the little banner that says Magic Your Bands, and you will go visit them, and they will know that you came from Disney Parks Podcast, and we would appreciate you guys supporting our sponsors in that way.
Yep. Right. And use the coupon code Disney Parks Podcast at checkout, and you still get 10% off.
Hey, if you're a big fan of Starbucks, there's more coming to you at Downtown Disney in Disneyland. Starbucks' second location is coming to the Downtown Disney District at Disneyland. We talked about this a while ago. A second location at the Downtown Disney District is coming in 2016. The new Starbucks will be located next to the Disney Vacation Club on the west end of the Downtown Disney District near the Disneyland Hotel. Now, we're looking forward to seeing this new location. When we go out to Disneyland, hopefully soon, we'll be able to enjoy it. And we would love to see pictures. If you guys are out there, send us pictures and let us see what the new location looks like.
Disneyland Downtown District is so big that they can't walk from one end to the other. Is that what they're saying in this article?
Yeah.
All right. It's not like Disney Springs, where they've now built a shopping mall. I mean, it's not that far of a walk from one end to the other to get a coffee. I mean,
no, not really. No, not really at all.
I mean, you could get one and be at the other before your coffee gets cold.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All right.
It takes it takes less time to get from one side of Downtown Disney District to the other side of the Downtown Disney District than it does to walk from one side of the parking lot at Disney Springs to the other side of the parking lot at Disney Springs.
Yeah, I agree. All right, folks, if you want to help support this show, you can do so by going to patreon.com/Disney Parks Podcast and contribute whatever you feel fits your needs. And if you subscribe as one of our Patreons, we will send you a little goodie in the mail. We have three subscribers right now. We have David, Stacy, and Willie. And I am glad to let you know that Sunday, your stuff went in the mail. So it is on its way to you. So look for that in the mail. And thank you.
I'm sorry.
And thank you. And thank you for your contribution.
I know that's
enough. We truly appreciate that. Yep. All right. This was an interesting story I found on the interwebs. It really wasn't even on the interwebs. It was on a special Disney press site I found. But there's a new Shanghai Disney store that they built outside of the park. Apparently, Shanghai is getting the full-on Disney treatment. They're getting parks, they're getting stores. You know, Disney's just going to take over the country, maybe. But they built this ginormous, it is now the I think, according to this article, the world's largest Disney store, okay? And in this plaza, they built this awesome clock. And we may have to find some video or a picture of it to kind of give you the idea of what this clock does. But a new Glockenspiel style clock tower was recently debuted at the Shanghai Disney store entry plaza, which now greets guests. It was designed by Walt Disney Imagineering, and the tower measures 60 feet tall, or 18 meters if you're in Shanghai. Features Mickey Mouse clock faces, visible gears and mechanisms, and a variety of popular Disney Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars characters as both statues and animated figures. And the way the guy was saying on the video, they wanted to be able to represent all of the Disney brands on this clock, which I thought was a great idea.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. The Shanghai Disney store is the largest Disney retail location in the world, with nearly 54,000 square feet, or 5,000 square meters, of immersive shopping space and a plaza area. And this plaza is huge.
Right.
It's huge. We're extremely proud that the Shanghai Disney store is the first Disney store in the world with an outdoor plaza and clock tower, which not only provides guests with a unique shopping and entertainment experience, but also serves as the perfect meeting location for friends and family, added Anduo Toro, Senior VP and GM of the Disney Store Asia, Disney Store Japan, and Disney Store China. So there you go, my friends. Go Google this. Go Google Shanghai Disney Store Plaza and go take a look at this. See if you can find the video. The video is more entertaining than the picture, obviously.
I don't know. That's pretty entertaining listening to you try to say Glockenspiel.
Glockenspiel.
Glockenspiel. Hey, if this is the biggest World of Disney store.
No. Disney store. Not World of Disney store.
Oh, Disney store.
Disney store.
Okay, so does that mean that the Paris store, because it's a World of Disney store, is still the world's biggest World
Correct.
Of Disney?
Correct. World of Disney is a park store. The Disney store is the retail side of Disney.
Them and their nomenclature.
Yes. Completely different, but the same.
Exactly. Hey, guys, if you're a fan like I am of the Disney by the Numbers app, it's back. New and improved. It kicked old busted to the side. And now it is absolutely back. Now it's free. So if you've been holding off because you didn't feel like giving Tony any of your money, I understand that. Now it's free, completely free. There is no reason that you should not own the Disney by the Numbers app on your phone. And it's free. Who is your app designer?
Joe. I am going to link to, actually, I'm writing it down right now, because I am going to link to Joe on the website and the app.
Joe did a great job. He did a great job the first time, and the app is even better. So definitely go over to the iTunes store and grab your copy of the DBTN, Disney by the Numbers app, and grab it today, because you never know. It might get updated. Price might go up. You know, you never can tell. So get it while the getting's good, my friends.
Yeah.
All right.
You go from free to $10. Who knows?
You go from free to $29.95. You know, it just depends on how the stock market goes.
Yep.
So it wouldn't be a Disney Parks podcast without us talking about your favorite animated feature and mine, Frozen. You know, Frozen live at the Hyperion over at Disney California Adventure Park is going to open on May 27th of 2016. The new musical adaptation based on Disney's blockbuster animated film will officially open in the park on the 27th. The creative team led by Walt Disney Imagineering Creative Entertainment Portfolio Holy jeez. Ladies and gentlemen, Walt Disney Imagineering Creative Entertainment Portfolio Executive Dana Harrell is hard at work bringing, she'd have to be without any words in her title, Bringing to the stage a production that stays true to the emotional journey of Anna and Elsa while presenting a unique take on the material through elaborate costumes, sets, and stunning special effects and show-stopping production numbers. To bring this vision to life, Dana and her team are collaborating with some of the most noted talents working in theater today. With Frozen live at the Hyperion coming this summer, we'll soon be saying goodbye to one of our fan favorites, for the first time in forever, a Frozen sing-along celebration. They're actually closing it. I can't believe they're just not moving it over to Disneyland. Fans of the sing-along will want to catch it one last time before it melts away forever on our April 17th, 2016. You're not the only one that's having trouble speaking. And be sure to keep your eyes on our blog over the next few months as we will share the sneak peeks that Disney gives us of the behind-the-scenes production of Frozen live at the Hyperion leading up to the grand debut on the 27th. Now, is Aladdin already closed?
Yeah.
They already closed that, right?
Yeah. That was a very, 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 very popular show, and they're replacing it with this, which I know a lot of the California people were very upset. And you know, that is part, I guess, of the Disney problem out there is, you know, the pass holders, you know, get crazy about things like this, you know, things that change. And, they're replacing one Frozen thing with another Frozen thing. So,
right. They, you know, first of all, they should relax. I'm sorry. If you're listening and you're in California or you're a Disneyland purist, I don't mean to offend, but you should just take a friggin' chill pill. How much crap have we had changed in the last 5 years at Walt Disney World? A. Yeah. B. Walt Disney said, and I quote, Disneyland will never be finished. It will always be changing. It will always be growing. If you think that your beloved little park that you love so much that you just want to love it and keep it and kick everybody else out of it, it's never going to be that way because Walt is no longer at the helm.
Yeah.
Welcome to our world, kids. This is what we go through on a daily basis.
I thought you were going to do the Tommy Boy bit there.
Which one? So who's your favorite team there? The Yankees?
I don't know. You know, at some point, you know, kids are going to forget about Frozen and all of the stuff they're building is going to be irrelevant. And don't I know there's another movie coming. And then what? Are you going to do a Frozen 3, 4, 5, 6? You know, are you going to beat the Frozen iceberg to death?
Yep, they're going to milk it as long as they can.
They're going to melt it for as long as they can.
You know.
Ba-dum-bum.
I like warm hugs.
Yeah. All right, kids, if you can, please share, tweet, connect the podcast with all your friends and family. Tell them, if you like this, tell them you listen to a great podcast and tell them all the great places you can find this great podcast. That would help us. I came up with like a little punch list of quick things to talk about. One is the elusive, very magical Purple Magic Band has now replaced the Blue Magic Band. So when you're ordering magic bands, you can now get a Purple Magic Band. You don't have to go buy one.
Nope.
You can get one for free from Disney.
But now you have to buy a blue.
Right. It's gone already. It's gone off the list. Yeah, you'll have to buy a blue one.
It was never there.
Yeah, it's never been there. That's number one. And I do like the new, thinner, more curvier design of the new band.
Right.
So if you haven't been here or haven't gotten a band in the last month or so, the new Magic Bands are very thinner, lighter, and are more round. They actually fit your wrist. It's not like this like square thing now trying to, you know, wrap on your wrist. So that was number one.
Yep.
Number two is I had an interesting conversation with a cast member who is a ride supervisor at Toy Story Mania here in Florida. And here in Florida, they're building that elusive third track. So I said to him, hey, dude, can you tell me if this third track is going to, you know, help. But do I have a better shot at, you know, getting on this ride? And his simple answer is no. So there's two scenarios that he laid out to me. One scenario was that this was what most of the supervisors and ride operators were thinking was two lines or two queue ups would be dedicated to fast passes. So they'd have a large amount of fast passes to give out, and it would just drive fast pass people all day long. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. It would just keep that going. The third track would be for your standby only. And it would almost be like the old days when there were no really fast passes. It would have a time, and that would be the actual time you would have to wait based on this line. So that was what a lot of the supervisors and ride operators were thinking. But management is telling them something possibly different, that's really just going to be a third line, period. It's not going to be dedicated to one thing or another. It'll just be another place that they can direct people, where if it is a busy day, they'll have the third track on, and boom, they'll just direct guests to that. Now, that doesn't make me all that happy, because it doesn't sound like that it makes any efficiencies or help get throughput. You know, I think they are trying to get more people through the attraction. That's why they're building a third track, you know. So we'll have to see how this all turns out. I think it'll be interesting, but the guy certainly enlightened me to some other possibilities.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on that, John?
Yeah, we talked about that off mic a day or two ago, and mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been thinking about it. Disney's going to figure it out. My fear is that they take this opportunity for a third track and try to be smarter than they really need mm-hmm. to be, and just cause the yeah. wait times to go up. Look, I get fast passes go like that. I get right. it. You know, yeah. I'm a Disney person. I'm a pass holder. I know that I will probably never ever ride this ride unless, you know, something crazy happens. That's a given. I'm okay with that. But when I walk by there and the line is out the door and they're outside in the heat, wrapped around all the poles and stuff, and they're trying to cram more and more people in these queue lines for 120, 200 minute waits. That is A, poor planning, B, just brutalizing guests. And you're already closing down half the park. So the wisest thing is, let's get as many people through this ride as humanly possible.
Yeah.
Now, I've said this before and I'll say it again, and I don't mean disrespect if there's anybody listening from Disney, but Disney usually does 180 degrees opposite of what makes the most common sense.
Sure.
So that being said, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it's funny. One day I went past there and the queue line said 299 minutes. And I'm like, where is everybody? There was nobody there. There was nobody outside. There's nothing. And I go inside by the standby side, and there's absolutely nobody in there. And I come out and I go, why does the sign say like 299 minutes if there's nobody in there? She goes, because it's all fast passes. That virtual queue line has made it, they have to keep the fast pass going so that the queue line, it would take you forever. That's like 4 hours, 299 minutes.
Right.
She said, that's the way it is. That's the way it is here at Toy Story Mania. I said, thank you. Move along, my friend. All right. The other quick thing I did want to talk about is we went to the Four Seasons Saturday for lunch. And, I can't tell you enough, and I'll tell you again, the Four Seasons is a great place on Disney property to get away from Disney. If that makes any sense, right?
Yeah, totally. I totally understand what you're saying.
You know, you don't have to, go to 192 or iDrive or someplace to have a nice meal or a good time or be treated like a human. It's the Four Seasons. And I'm telling you, people, go there. Go there for dinner. Go there for lunch. I was talking to Corey, who's the assistant food and beverage, and He's saying they're going to change things up. They're doing some other interesting things. Pool bar and grill, which is outside. It's covered, but they have now these huge heaters. I mean, they could probably cook steaks on those heaters hanging from the ceiling. But they're going to be open for dinner for a good majority of the summer until it gets to the real sticky, icky, wet, sloppy season. Then they'll shut it down, and then they'll redo it again in the cooler weather. So pool bar and grill will be open for dinner. I think that is awesome, and that is fantastic. If you're going to go there, people, get the lobster roll. I'm telling you, I had an entire lobster claw on my sandwich. I just posted the pictures today.
The thing about when you go to the Four Seasons, I know you want to keep talking about food, and I don't mean to interrupt. The thing about, but it's like you said, you get treated like a human. And the problem with the amount of people that are constantly going to the parks and going to Walt Disney World Resort is it really is almost like this weird international conga line. And you don't have as many of those magical moments like you used to have. I mean, yes, they do happen. And yes, you know, if you go off and if like Tony is, Tony knows several cast members. I know several cast members. So we can have those interactions, but that's just because we're either friends on Facebook or we just become really good friends because we go all the time. But I've driven up to the Four Seasons in my 2006 Tundra dirty, stepping out of a truck wearing ratty old shorts and a t-shirt and flip-flops, and I get served and I get, is there anything I can do to help you? What can I do for you? Yeah. And they treat me like I'm staying at the Four Seasons. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I'm just here for lunch, man. They're like, absolutely. You're gonna have a great time. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And that is so nice. It's refreshing.
Yep. And like John is saying, you can valet park. PB&G will validate it down to $5, which is a steal, in my opinion, for valet parking anywhere in Central Florida. You know, we've gotten as bad as Orange County, California, with valet parking. So $5 is a great steal. The other thing, I've heard this from Pedro, who's the chef over at Plancha, that they're also going to probably be firing up dinner over at the golf course, too. Plancha is a Cuban restaurant that is on Four Seasons. It's over by, it's in the clubhouse, Tranquilo, which is their golf resort. And they're going to be doing dinner. And I think that is absolutely the best thing. That is, I am so down for that. They also have free valet parking there as well. You can pull right up to the clubhouse. Some guy will take your car, make it disappear. You'll go have dinner or lunch, and then you'll get your car back. Just to remind you, too, at the Four Seasons, Kappa, the steakhouse, is now accepting tables in Wonderland. That is brilliant, people. Brilliant.
Yeah.
And then Corey was also telling me that Ravello will now validate your it's the Italian place that's open for dinner. They'll validate your parking down to zero. So it's now free valet parking if you go for dinner at Ravello. And they also now have great menu items at the lobby bar. So even if you don't want to go to one of the restaurants, go to the lobby bar, and they have some great menu items there, and you can have some cocktails and never even hit a restaurant. So,
yeah, the best thing about that whole day, actually, we were there on a Sunday.
Yep.
The best thing about it was, is we, a lot of people were at the pool. There weren't a lot of people. I mean, we got there a little bit before lunchtime. Yeah, we got there a little bit before lunchtime. And then, you know, it got a little bit busy out in the pool bar and grill, PB&G. And then we had lunch, and then we wanted to definitely get some gelato. And we went out on their, like, their ground level little deck area. And it was awesome because we didn't have a lot of people. There was hardly anybody there. And we just had a great time. It was quiet. There weren't kids running around. It was just great. I had a blast. And, you know, that's what I would highly recommend for anybody to, you know, if they want to stay on property and they want to do something a little bit more fun, I would definitely do that and get away from it all. Hey, I got to go to a pre-screening of Zootopia, and it's already been out in theaters for a weekend. and it really did kill it in a good way. It knocked off Deadpool as the number one movie for the weekend, earning $75 million, making it the biggest three debut of all time for Walt Disney Animated Studios. Internationally, the film began opening in mid-February, earning nearly $100 million over its first 3 weeks and posting an additional $64.7 million this weekend for a combined global total, holy cats, of $235.2 million.
It's catching up to Star Wars.
Yeah, do you think it's going to overtake Avatar?
Come on, I had to throw that out there. That's
cool. I know, buddy. Domestically, Zootopia's $75 million surpasses the $67.4 million three-day weekend total posted by Frozen during its Thanksgiving debut, the previous high for Walt Disney Animated Studios film. In addition, Zootopia now holds one of the top three domestic debuts of all time for an original film not based on another property. Following on the success of Tangled, Wreck-It Ralph, Frozen, and Big Hero 6, Zootopia is the latest in a streak of Disney animated hits to debut exciting new characters that are delighting fans across the world. With international debuts still to come, Australia, Brazil, the UK, and Japan, spectacular audience and critical reception set Zootopia up for a long run around the world. The film currently has a 99% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, and U.S. audiences gave the film an A cinema score, which is tremendous. This movie is great.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Everybody's been...
It's not as heavy-handed as Tomorrowland, obviously, which wasn't animated, but it has a message. There's no way around it. It has a message. It has a message of tolerance. It has a message of its species, but it's obviously an allegory to race relations.
Yeah,
and it tells it in such a way that you really get it and it's not beating you up with it. And that being said, the story is solid. It's a great procedural crime drama. At the same time, as there's great characters, there's great story, there's a lot of little nods, a lot of Easter eggs. Somebody said that this movie was the most Easter egg laden movie that Disney's ever done. And the little subtle things, like there's a scene where the bunny cop hops. Was it Julie?
Yep. Jennifer Goodwin.
It's Julie Hops. I can't remember her first name. But Jennifer Goodwin's character, the bunny in the movie, the police officer bunny, when she's a little girl, she's bullied by she's not really bullied. She goes at a bully. And he scares her, and like her little nose twitches. And it's just little subtle things that they did. It's really, really great. The voice character work between her and Jason Bateman is spectacular. And there's a lot of actually cool little hidden voice cameos that you might or might not catch. So it's a great movie. I'm glad it's successful, and I hope it continues to be.
Now, I heard that this story – so. The main character is really Hops, but I heard it was the complete opposite. It was really originally focused on Jason Bateman's character. But when Jennifer took over or took the role or whatever, and they got about, you know, third or halfway down the road, they flipped, they said, hold on, stop, took the movie, flipped it, and then made it where Hops is more of the central character and not Jason Bateman's character.
They had to have caught that pretty quick because it really is her story. When she was a young bunny to going through the police academy and then her first job. And, it's a great story. Bateman does, you know, Jason Bateman's Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
Even when he's given a horrible movie, he does great with it.
I know.
So yeah. This is a great movie. It's a lot of fun. It's got a nice little twist at the end. It's got a lot of moments where
it's so should I go see funny. This or Deadpool?
Deadpool.
Okay.
Then go see this one.
Okay. All right.
Deadpool. Go see Deadpool. Now realize that it's a hard R for a reason.
Okay. I like hard R's.
It's funny. That's what she said. It's funny. It's a great movie. But Zootopia is everything you would want in a Disney animated feature.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Tells a great story. Right. It's beautiful to look at. You could tell the John Lasseter's got his hands all up in it. You can tell that the Disney animators have learned a lot from Pixar. Mm-hmm. The voice characters are incredible. The story's good. It's just a great top to bottom. It's a great movie.
Yeah. If you pay attention to the Disney Parks blog, go look at Tony Shalhoub doing the recording for the new Luigi ride. It's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're very interesting. Talk about stuff like that.
That's cool.
Let's move on to the next one. And this is not for Walt Disney World Resort, Florida people. Sorry. This is not for us. This is not for you. Turn away. Turn the mute button on because you're not going to want to hear this if you're a Marvel fan. Captain America and Spider-Man are coming to the Disney California Adventure Park on April 3rd. This is just ahead of the opening of Captain America Civil War. The first Avenger is making a triumphant return to the Disneyland Resort. Captain America will be making an appearance next month at Disney California Adventure Park. Also swinging in to join Cap on his latest mission in Hollywoodland will be everyone's favorite web slinger, your friendly neighborhood, Spider-Man does whatever Spider can. With this move, we can also tell you that the last day to experience Superhero HQ in Tomorrowland at Disneyland Park will be Saturday, April 2nd. So be sure to stop by before then if you'd like to suit up at Iron Man Tech, presented by Stark Industries, or journey across the Bifrost for an encounter with the mighty Avenger Thor.
Bifrost. Bifrost.
The mighty Avenger Thor at Treasures of Asgard. Look for Spider-Man and Cap at Disney's California Adventure Park beginning April 3rd, and you can catch Steve Rogers in Captain America Civil War in theaters in 3D on May 6th. All right, that sounds good. I'm looking forward to the movie.
Yeah. So the reason that we don't have Marvel superheroes here
is because that stupid thing down the road?
Because of the proximity of Universal, correct?
I believe so.
Universal has a theme park in Orlando, in Hollywood.
Do they not have any of those Marvel characters there? I don't know either.
I don't know. I'd have to look, but maybe they probably don't, which is great. So
yeah,
thanks, Disneyland. So the new International Flower and Garden Festival, which kicked off last week, is doing well. We visited. Have you been there yet?
I have not.
Oh, it's just like last year. Maybe this weekend. So they moved some topiaries around. They moved some of the outdoor kitchens around. But other than that, looks amazingly the same. But it's awesome. Don't misunderstand me. With the new festival theme design, the Disney gift card now is scented. When I go tell my wife this, she's going to lose her mind.
It smells like a gift card. Smells like money.
Smells like you're broke. Sorry, I'll edit that. With the new festival theme design, the mini Disney gift card has all the functionalities of the regular Disney gift card with the added convenience of wearing it around your wrist. You can enjoy the sights and scents of the Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival while purchasing foods that highlight the taste of spring at the outdoor kitchen. Now, you can activate your Disney card with as little as $15 and conveniently pay for food and more. If you put only $15 on it, you're only going to be able to go to one booth. So I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Your Disney gift card can even be reloaded as many times as you wish at the majority of festival locations. When the festival is over, you can continue using your card since, like all Disney gift cards, it's good for practically all things Disney at Walt Disney World and beyond.
Here's a thought. For the food and wine festival, I think they should make it edible.
Yes. Biodegradable.
If it's scented for the flower, then it should be edible for the fruit and wine.
So
that's got to be materials that are swipeable that you can eat.
Sure. Now
snap off the magnetic part, and the rest is edible. It's like a vanilla wafer.
Yeah, it would only be wafer thin. But the whole article doesn't say anything about the card being scented. It just has it in the headline. It's now scented. So I guess it's got like a scented scent
for your pleasure.
Moving on. If you're a fan of Turtle Talk with Crush, it's time to get excited because Finding Dory characters are going to be joining the lovable turtle. This summer, Crush, the sea turtle, will be joined by Dory and some of her new friends from Disney Pixar's Finding Dory at the Turtle Talk with Crush. That can be found at the Living Seas with Nemo and Friends at Epcot. His new friends will include Destiny, the whale shark, Bailey, the beluga whale, and Hank, the septopus. That's a seven-legged octopus. Well, if he's got seven legs, he's not an octopus. Just saying. Crush's son, Squirt, will also be swimming by for the first time, and you might even catch a glimpse of Nemo and his dad, Marlin.
Cool.
Nice addition.
Yeah, good. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
I wonder why those come out. That's a whole other story.
What's your question?
Why they don't have a character meet and greet with Dory, or how are they going to have a character meet and greet with Dory? She really can't walk, right? Would she be in a tank? Could they have an animated? Go back to those living things, like the Muppet Lab and Lucky the Dinosaur. I don't know.
Yeah, good call.
Same. All right. If you like turkey legs, you will not be able to get them in the Animal Kingdom.
Moment of silence.
Okay. Effective March 1st, turkey legs are no longer sold at the Flame Tree Barbecue. Turkey legs will still be offered in other parks and or Disney Springs. I don't know where to get them at Disney Springs.
I don't
think I've ever seen them down there.
They might be adding them.
Maybe.
Adding them to Disney Springs. I don't understand this. And every article that I've read says, we're changing up the menu.
Right.
I think that they're really doing it because they don't want to have turkey legs.
Offend the animals?
Right. Well, I don't think they want to have that walking around the parks.
I know that they posted that they had some Zootopia-inspired meals. And I'm like, aren't the characters in Zootopia animals? What are we, going to name them and now eat them? I mean, that just sounds like cannibalism.
Well, rabbit is good to eat. I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't eat fox.
Fox? I don't know.
They do have sheep and lambs. Good.
I just thought it was weird. Here's hops. Here's whatever. But and then you can eat them. That just sounds stupid.
Yep.
Also, starting on March 1st, there's going to be some menu changes over at the Animal Kingdom. And there's four of them. So let's run down the list. Over at the Flame Tree Barbecue, they will be adding a full rack of St. Louis rib entree to the menu. Yikes. A full rack, baby. Full package. You'll get roasted chicken salad and mixed green entree and ribs. There'll also be chicken and pulled pork sampler platter entree. And also added is a new side item, French fries with pulled pork and cheese.
Mm.
A lot of pork going down at that.
We call that ass rise. Apparently, turkey is good. Pigs are still bad.
Over at Pizzafari, they're adding a shrimp flatbread pizza entree and a Hearts of Romaine entree salad topped with shrimp. So apparently they're into the shrimp over there.
Shrimp suck. Kill them all.
Additionally, Pizzafari is introducing new side dishes and beverages, including garlic butternut. Ooh, that's
nice. Nice.
Tomato soup.
Yep.
Garlic dipping sauce, as well as mandarin orange lemonade and mandarin orange vodka lemonade. Yeah, we're talking. Over at the restaurant Osiris, they're adding a roasted chicken with mixed greens entree, salad, and a chili cheese hot dog entree. And for new side dishes, they will be adding the New England clam chowder and then chili cheese fries. And new additions to the topping bar will have a gourmet twist with the addition of sauteed onions, guacamole, olive tapenade, and much, much more. Very delicious.
Nice.
Then over at the outdoor vending, the ice cream carts have added a mango fruit bar. And for a limited time, Nestle's Dibs bite-sized snacks, the carts will continue to sell the infamous and all-time favorite, the Mickey Premium Ice Cream Bar, Mickey's Ice Cream Sandwich, Frozen Chocolate-Covered Banana, and Strawberry Fruit Bar, and the Sugar-Free Strawberry Fruit Bar.
Yes. Because
so there you go.
Satan wins. We have a strawberry with sugar-free strawberry fruit bar. That's great. I love new food. I love new things to try. That's great. All of this is good. All of this is good, Disney. And you know what?
They're getting ready.
You're making your way towards climbing up the list to be Tony's fourth favorite park.
You'll make it, Disney. I know you will.
Keep working, kids. Once Disney Hollywood Studios gets trashed, it'll be the fourth favorite park real quick.
You know, I think they only have Yak and Yeti, and that's it, right? There's only one place for sit-down inside Animal Kingdom?
Yeah, if you don't count the Rainforest Cafe.
I don't, because it's outside.
Tiffin's. Is that?
Okay, Tiffin's, right. So two. So they'll have two. Oh,
no, in Harambe.
I know the place, the buffet place.
Mm-hmm.
Where Donna works, Bill's wife works.
Yeah, hang on.
Tusker House. See, I don't even go there. I know the name of the place.
Good for you.
I think they need a sit down, a couple more sit down places.
I agree.
It's just me.
Okay, for our last news story, we had to make it about Frozen. Yay. So there's a new, I'm not even going to be able to get through this. Kristoff and Olaf are going to be hosting the Frozen Games at Disney's Blizzard Beach Water Park. It was announced on March 2nd that Disney's Blizzard Beach Water Park will play host to the inaugural Frozen Games this summer. The Winter Games Committee has taken advantage of the freak snowstorm over Central Florida and will host an impromptu sporting event known as the Frozen Games. They've even invited Kristoff and Olaf to lead teams of guests in a day full of fun Frozen activities. Before the warm sun melts all that snow away, guests visiting the water park can join Team Kristoff or Team Olaf and participate in a variety of activities, including ice pail relays, a snowball toss to ski pole limbo, and slide races. Olaf and Kristoff will join Winter Games committee members in the game's opening and closing ceremonies and will give updates throughout the games to report to their teams' achievements. The Frozen Games at Disney's Blizzard Beach Water Park, and may the odds always be in your favor.
Oh gosh, kids. Hey, you know what? They are taking full on, somebody is getting paid tons of money in the marketing department to figure out I want you to put Frozen in every aspect of everything. If there's snow, there's ice, there's whatever, you put Frozen there. They're doing a great job with this Frozen. I'm telling you,
and I've said this before, and I'll say it again, they're missing a tremendous opportunity with the Animal Kingdom. Mm-hmm. Just scrap that whole friggin' Asia place.
Yeah.
Or you can keep that little sliver of Asia where you've got like the you know, the water ride, and you've got like the tigers. Mm-hmm. Keep that little sliver, and then that whole next part in between, you know,
make it Arendelle.
And yeah, from the monkeys, the India, mm-hmm. where the monkeys, yep. all the way around to the Finding Nemo to the bridge,
yeah,
make it Arendelle. Mm-hmm. Scrap that whole crap with the stupid Yeti. Take the Yeti. Well, they wouldn't be able to take the Yeti.
They can be the Abominable Snowman guy. Yeah,
make it Fluffy, the ice creature, yeah. and make it Arendelle, and then it'd be in all four friggin' parks.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be the day that I turn in my pass. I couldn't take it. I could not take it.
Dear Joe Rody calls. We can help you. We can help you make Frozen. We can help you achieve Bob Iger's Frozen domination.
I am not one to always believe in like the Illuminati, you know, all that crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that Frozen is the devil.
All right, kids, enough with the Frozen chit chat. I think we've taken Frozen out back and beaten it.
Oh, if only. Oh, hey, kid. There's a Frozen. There's several Frozen Easter eggs in Zootopia.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yes. Heard that. Oh, God, it's.
I heard that. Yeah. I heard that. Speaking of Easter eggs, I was looking up today our friend Don Negroni over at the Pixar Theory, and apparently he's updated his theory, so I have to definitely reach out to him. I'm smelling a new show. I'm smelling a whole let's get John Negroni back on because I think he's going to blow our minds. Yeah. Him and his friends have been drinking, probably held up themselves in a room and came up with some more Pixar theory. So, that I think wraps up this week's show. I think we ran the gamut on a lot of different things. So we are the Disney Parks Podcast, and you can find us at DisneyParksPodcast.com. Find us on Facebook / Disney Parks Podcast, or on Twitter at Disney Podcaster. And that's it, kids. As we'd like to say around here, we will see you in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you.